All right, so this is the Green Practices Commission. For Thursday, February 12th, 2026, we're going to roll call, I guess. And this is Tim Schmaltz, acting chairperson, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Nicole Baumgarten, commissioner, is present today.
Suzanne Schumer, commissioner.
Ken Shetman.
John Thiemann, council member.
Steve Strickland, staff liaison.
All right. Well,
intruder.
and
by the way, I'm visiting.
Good. Visiting. We have a visitor.
We have a civilian.
Civilian. Good. Opening round. Any sort of comments and things that need to be discussed in terms of bringing things to people's attention? All right. Well, moving right along then. Approval of minutes. I didn't see those in the email packet.
No, I apologize. I was not able to get those completed in time for this meeting.
All right.
I will have them.
We will plan on reviewing those next time. Do we have a special presentation today from anybody?
I don't know if this is appropriate, but I did bring a flyer about an event that we are putting on March 24th.
Okay, could you say who you are and who's the we there?
Oh, I'm Arthur Wasserman.
Okay.
That's my name. I live in 1456 Mendel, New City. And the pamphlet that we're passing right now is actually regarding an event that is going to be March 24th. We have several speakers, and actually Terry Crow and Boyne Smotherson will be there to state their perceptions or their ideas about flood mitigation. And we're hoping to have a pretty positive and well-organized event. So take pictures of that, if you will. I didn't bring any copies of it, unfortunately.
Could you say what group you're representing?
Well, this is the started out with the University Heights Flood Coalition or Flood Committee. And bottom line is, I guess I have been representing the people of the Mendel Basin along River De Pere regarding the development of the 11 acres of cemetery land. And that's really got me in way over my head in this whole project. So there's been all these interesting splinter groups that have been born from that whole process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's become a big issue in New City.
Yesterday evening, I actually went to the annual meeting of the River De Pere Watershed Coalition, and there are folks there from MSD as well that were really informative, and talked about some really interesting programs that I think would be very beneficial to U City and the residents here. But there is a small grant program that is offered by MSD through Missouri Botanical Gardens. And trying to get more information about that, how to get involved. And you know, certainly I would love to get my neighbors involved in that program so they can get rain gardens and come up with some pretty useful flood mitigation or watershed control design.
When you figure out like a little small presentation, I mean, I'm speaking for the group. We'd love to have you back to, you know, to tell us about it. I think we're trying to do sort of a combination of like outreach and information disposal.
Yeah.
Is sort of our underlying mission of late. We do have a section of the city government website that we're trying to sort of clean up and make it a place where residents can go to find stuff, of which this would be some of that stuff.
There's so many resources out there, and it's hard to tie them all together because there's a lot of splinter groups.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you would like this commission to do in regard to your work here?
Well, in particular, I happen to look at the map of the areas that this small grant program is effective in, and the entire Mendel Basin is left out of that program, which totally baffles me. There, as a matter of fact, it seemed to me as though there are parts of University Heights that are left out of that program as well. So I have called into the Botanical Gardens and over at MSD to try to get better focus on how they determine the boundaries of the program. But I'm definitely going to dig into that. But we want that. It's like $4,000 for individuals or residents and $10,000 for commercial. And I believe possibly that cemetery would be eligible for the $10,000, which would help clean up some things and make that a more formidable contribution to the watershed.
Who did you say again is behind this grant?
MSD in conjunction with MoBOT, with Missouri Botanical Garden. I don't know the entire layout, how they designed it, and if it's, you know, subordinated in some way by other programs, but I just found out last night, so I'm just chomping at the bit right now.
Yeah, please let us know.
Yeah, and my understanding is the city does not feel it has good communication with MSD, so maybe your group will be one of the ways they can try to coordinate a little better.
If I could create better communication with MSD, I will be nominated as a saint.
So you have had troubles yourself.
Have I ever? Yeah. They stonewall people, unfortunately.
Yeah, really
important decision.
Have you or do you plan to meet with like the Stormwater Commission?
I think
I don't
that,
know when they meet off the top
yeah,
of the
head. We have some direct connection.
You've spoken to the Stormwater Commission.
Okay.
Yeah, Easton is going to speak at this particular event. And, of course, Sue Armstrong is behind us as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some good voices. And I'm trying to get a hold of Chris and trying to muster up that energy again. And there's also a gentleman who's going to be speaking, Preston Kirkland. And he has been very successful in creating a watershed design in Springfield. And apparently they're like on their second program. And I think it's going to be a Zoom meeting for him. But he's going to speak about the program and their success and how they were able to pull everything off. And, it's always jumping through fiery hoops to get any money to support those types of programs. But that's really encouraging. It'll be interesting to hear him talk.
Two things. If there's going to be a Zoom component to this March 24th, do you know if there's going to be any recording of this that could be posted or shared? Because I don't know what's going on for me the 24th of March. Yeah. But, like, certainly if there's a Zoom component from somebody that's saying, hey, in Springfield we did da-da-da-da-da, that would make life a lot easier if folks could go back and potentially even reference that when we've got some free time.
I have a really good suspicion that there is, in fact, going to be a recording.
Okay.
Only because I looked at the list of...
It can be recorded.
Yeah.
It can be recorded if it's Zoom or somebody chooses to do so.
I know, it's going to be at the high school. And apparently they have all
the
facilities that we need.
Does it say the high school library? Because I think I just wrote down library.
Yeah, it's high school library.
All right.
Yeah.
There's a very good chance that I misread the thing. So,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Last thing. We are going to talk a little bit later today, I think, just a tiny bit. It came up last meeting about sections of the parks that might not be used as parks to sort of lower the amount of mowing and things like that. I think there might be some overlap for potentially doing rain garden stuff, and if the grants work for park spaces as opposed to residential spaces. Are you aware of... I guess you've had less than 24 hours of exposure to this grant. From your glancing at it, is it, you know, mostly residential or like the limitations of it? Do you think, or because I'm making you the expert on this right now. that potentially, like, we could mitigate some flooding by modifying some of our parks. Like, obviously, there's waterways through Heman, but there's some other park areas that we're going to be exploring, I think, over the next couple months of this space isn't used, let's convert it. Or maybe I'll just put that as a tickler in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
And you can report back.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
I know there's limitations on getting rid of parkland, so I'm not sure. You can't sell any parkland.
Oh, and I'm just saying, like if this space, like this little area right next to Vernon, is never used as parkland, could we convert part of that to a, you know, a rain garden type flood mitigation as part of this grant program? That's I don't know the answer to that, and I suppose I could do some reading, but not right now.
I suspect if this is set up to go to residents and business property owners,
seems to maybe be kind of more of a loose term, I hope.
Oh, I hope, yeah. It depends on how they're interpreting this.
I mean, if the answer's no, then the answer's no. Right now, the answer's a question mark.
It's a lovely idea.
I think so. Double, you know, like more rain garden flood mitigation and less mowing.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a good idea to explore for at least 10 or 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Greenway plan, too, that they're trying to get through at this point in time. I'm not sure I know all the details about, you know, how that may contribute to creating more permeable properties or permeable land, but I got a feeling that that it would be beneficial to the Greenway folks to have citizen participation in that, too.
Mm-hmm.
It could go an awful long way.
Yeah, I think that there's possible wins for lots of groups here.
Yeah.
Does the Greenway have plans for anything other than the couple of blocks from, what is it, Westgate to Pennsylvania?
I think the most active, like, in the closer to planning stages is just this way here. Mm-hmm. But if you go to their map, they have, like, the little dashed lines from this area all the way to 170.
Yeah.
But as just a future project, I don't know how far they are in it. When I talked to the Gateway Green folks at the farmers market last summer, I think, they were really excited about, like, from here to Ackert Walk.
All the way to Ackert Walk?
I think they were connecting Ackert to this corner, I think, is what their plan
was.
Like
this. I thought it only went as far as Westgate.
I have seen several permutations of plans that kind of snake through. I mean, that's the problem.
Uh-huh.
The problem is the linkage, you know, linking this one to this one to this one.
Yes.
And I've seen at least two, maybe three that I can think of. Actually, two that I can think of that, you know, I had various ways of linking these bits together.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are these places where there just is no sort of natural, you know, it's not a park here, or it's not, you know, it's all pure street here, and, and so they have problems with those places. So it's a lot of talk, it's a lot of work, it's work in progress.
Yeah.
Right.
If there was an area that I would like to see them emphasize, it would be between city limits and Westgate, where you have this alley of ugly, Yeah, there's no way to get through there, no way to walk on any of that. But
Well, let's figure out where there's potentially some usage for the residents, and we can maybe get the word out about that. And maybe with whatever we decide to do with parks and roping Gateway Greenways in there, it's great too, but that might be step three or four. So, all right. So 24th of March at the high school library, not the library.
What time was it?
What time, Ken, did you?
Let's see. What? Seven to 9 o'clock.
7 to 9 p.m. All right. Okay.
And the title of that
is a code here for registering.
Visions of flood mitigation.
I don't know if it doesn't say registering is in advance is required, but there's a QR code here to register.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Feel free to stick around if you want. Speak up, say whatever it is that you need to. My computer is asleep. All right, next on the agenda, if we are good to keep moving, let's see, citizen participation. I think we just kind of, citizens participated. All right, new business, we got native plantings. Does Nicole have something to say about that?
I do. So what I'm tossing around in my head is proposing a motion about a registry for native gardens. And I'm kind of trying to think what the criteria might be. Could it be certification by a third party, like Missouri Prairie Foundation or the Audubon Society, any of these places that offer certain levels of certification for your garden? And, you know, you can have somebody from there come out and inspect, and you get a sign, or you can self-inspect and self-certify and, you know, register with them. Should it be something where the city has a trained inspector that comes out and certifies? Does it need to go that far? Should it be something as simple as like what I have, which is a list of what's planted where and who says it's native, the USDA?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm tossing around all these ideas while I'm thinking about what I want this registry to actually look like, how I want it to be maintained, how I want it to be stored. When I say I mean like collectively. Yeah, these are just my thoughts. So I'm wondering, as I start doing research and preparing this motion I want to make, if we have any feedback on these items that would be relevant for consideration in this motion, or strong opinions or anything from anyone.
I have a question. You mentioned a couple groups. Are there currently organizations that will say this is a native planting space, or is this something that we would make new?
Yes and no. There are about, like, if it's officially a native space, I'm not sure about that, but I believe so with the different organizations. There are some that specify if you have less than a certain amount of impervious surface and less than a certain amount of invasives and a certain amount of natives, then they will actually come out and help you and certify your property with their organization. So it wouldn't necessarily be something that we have to do on our own if we mm-hmm. don't want to. Do we want to? Do we have the capacity to? Or does it need to be something where we're not putting extra strain on the city's resources?
What would the intent of compiling this list be? What would we do with it? Would we use it to encourage more such gardens? To say, hey, we've got X, we'd like to get X to X plus Y. And I mean, would that be the...
Well, you just brought a great point. So tracking all this, the first step to improvement is tracking where you're at right now, so just knowing where our citizens are as far as native gardens. Last week or last month, we talked about reducing lawnmowers and leaf blowers and things like that, you know, gas-powered, loud, annoying things that pollute. And this would be a step in that direction to encourage people to plant native and therefore mow less, blow less, trim less. And then also remove the barrier of having city inspectors come by your property and potentially issue you a code violation, or have people complaining and maybe report you to the city. Because whenever they're looking at your native garden, which is healthy and maintained and beneficial, they don't know what that is. And so, you know, an inspector also doesn't know what that is. Inspector writes you a code violation. Now you got a mess to deal with. So the intent is to kind of like Soul Smart, make it easy for people to have native gardens because it's beneficial to the ecosystems.
So it's like a double thing of increased efficiency because the inspectors aren't spending time.
Right.
But also as a billboard, because if there's people walking their dog and they see a little, this is certified by the prairie, such and such,
exactly,
then they may be interested in that as well.
It's removing barriers.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big barrier to have people complain to you and you have no way to back it up and say, no, it's okay. And then this code inspector comes by and says, no, it's not. And you're having to repeatedly say, yes, it is, yes, it is, yes, it is. So just removing that barrier, again, like with the Soul Smart, taking away the red tape, you know, hey, if you're on the list, we're not going to bug you about it. And then other thoughts I'm thinking about are, well, how often do you need to recertify?
Yeah.
You know, what is maintenance like? Is there somebody who verifies? Is there a spot check?
Any fee potentially associated with the certification process? I mean, are there folks or groups that would do this as a service to the community?
My initial thoughts are that ideally the resident would not need to pay any fee because we want to remove barriers, not make them pay a fee.
That's why I'm raising.
If whatever we come up with has some sort of city impact or participation that, or even the storage of this list, you know, that stuff costs money. Mm-hmm. So if there were to be a small fee, maybe it could go towards that, or otherwise could go towards a fund to build native gardens in our parks or something like that. So
I would just as a quick thought, I mean, I think this sounds like a worthwhile thing to contemplate. As a quick thought, perhaps approaching folks who could, quote, do the certification and saying, hey, this is the idea I have. We want to encourage native gardens in your city for the following reasons. Would you, in what ways could you help us out by certifying a garden as such?
I'm wondering if City of Bloom could get involved, if they would be willing to, because they have a professional horticulturalist.
They do. I think that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. I think their appetite to take on more work is very low. They have very few paid employees.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's mostly volunteers, and it's mostly.
But they have the expertise.
Well. Similar to that, but perhaps with more time, I was going to recommend if you can't find usprairiebuilders.com or what some organization that contacting the Master Gardeners. Because Master Gardeners are required to do a certain number of service hours per year.
Oh, that's great.
A lot of those are, taking care of, beds in public spaces, mm-hmm. but there might be some that are more interested in drive by, not even get out of your car and just be like, snap a picture, document, and then move on. I don't know of any people in the Master Gardeners, but I do know from when I was the U City rep on the Extension Council manages that. We would have Master Gardeners come through, and U City's got a lot of them, so. I would recommend that. So,
Nicole, in pitching this, you might say to people, this can be mutually beneficial. You certify it. We put a little something in the ground with your name on it. If you want your phone number, give us a call. If you want, that kind of thing. And so, people might think of it as a win-win situation.
Yeah. Yeah. The Master Gardeners may already have a native, the UM logo, as a native garden, lawn stick sign. I wouldn't be surprised, logos are all over the place. And they certainly have one because I had to vote on it when I was on the council. So, that might solve the problem of the advertising if they already said this is a Master Gardener certified space. Maybe it doesn't say native planting, but still. If the thing exists, why specify it?
Great idea. Open Space STL was at the meeting last night, and they spoke a lot about native planting. They spoke a lot about volunteers that were going out and cleaning up areas. They're doing a project around Jefferson Barracks where they're cleaning up these old relics and trying to restore them. But they talk a lot about wanting to get rid of invasive species.
Hmm.
I don't know what the problem with honeysuckle is.
It's very hard to kill.
It needs nothing.
Well, it smells good part of the year.
There are native honeysuckles, but they're talking about the Japanese one.
Oh,
that's
there,
the trouble.
Okay. I have native ones, I think. But yeah, they are talking about this is the time of the year to uproot them also. But they were very active and had a lot to say about native plantings.
So do I.
Part of me almost feels like if you did contact the master gardeners, there may be some people that would want to do this. You know, like, they want to get in on the ground level because, you know, there's like, well, I was thinking about native plantings and stuff. So, like, talk about an instant base of 150 homes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
They operate through MoBot. So, like, if they don't want to do anything, I'm sure they could redirect you somewhere else. And I keep saying you as in you, not the you as in us. So you get some homework.
So what I've gathered from this is that I'm going to be looking into what other groups are doing. I'm going to be exploring options for storage of the registry, requirements of the registry, and accountability. And then I will come back with my idea for the motion and present it to the group to see if it moves forward. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think that, and some of those might be checked off if someone's already like, yeah, here's the thing that, you know, Clayton uses or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then your job's easy. But yeah, I don't see if the cost is almost zero with the exception of storing the information somewhere that's accessible to the inspectors and stuff.
I think I can do that part.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I'll just say from a staff perspective, I talked with property maintenance staff, and their concerns were the same, just that they're not qualified to determine what are native plant species and what aren't. So, you know, it's like make sure someone else lets them know what qualifies for it and what doesn't, and then they have the same thought. It's like there should be a list, so it's easy to be like, oh no, that's covered under the, you know, native planting stuff that's listed in the code. And yeah, it was very similar thoughts.
One dimension of this, Nicole, alluded to, but that we haven't discussed, is what I think may be motivating you here, and that's being cited for having a garden that people in this room think is a great idea to have. And I would just ask our city council rep, and you know, what are your thoughts about that apparent policy of the city of doing that? Of citing people for having gardens that we're talking about is a good thing to have. And that somehow...
Well, I don't think the citation was a garden. I think the citation and the whole process is based on, like, derelict properties.
Yes, right, but defining something such as this as fitting the category, the description.
Oh, I got cited. I think I said this at the last meeting.
Yes.
I actually got cited. And was deemed to be a nuisance. That was the actual word. He says with pride.
Yeah, I added that.
Kind of come down from activist and protester to just the nuisance. And I feel it's a step in the right direction. And I simply notified the city, you know, that this is a native garden. And these are native plants, and that was what there was to that. It didn't take anything more. That was back when I was a civilian, so I'm not quite sure what the regulations are, but it was pretty straight, for me anyway, it was a pretty straightforward thing.
I do want to point out that you come from a place of education and privilege, and that others may not have the same benefits that your education and privilege brings with it. And so removing those barriers for everyone, I think, is worthwhile.
Good point.
Which is not a jab in any way. I'm so glad it was taken care of easily. And I believe, I'm sure, for most people, it probably would be. But let's go ahead and make sure and protect everybody,
that, yes.
Is my
well
thoughts
said.
With this motion.
I'd like to suggest that we move ahead with the process that you're pursuing, but we keep this issue in the back of our minds and say, you know, once we've progressed and we have a plan for implementing it, then would be the time to say, okay, now we're going to be implementing something, encouraging activities that in the past the city has cited as being a violation of something. And is there a way we can deal with that? But I would put that as the second issue after moving ahead with this.
I believe that step one is removing the barriers, and step two is education and encouragement. And a registry, to me, seems like the easiest way to remove barriers. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, did I?
No. And you, a sign whether or not there's a registry, because to some extent you're trying to educate your neighbors on it. We also, hopefully something is in place that we can use this when UCD in Bloom has its plant sale at the end. It's usually last Friday night, Saturday, Sunday of April normally. And they always have a section that's called Native Plants.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to have something available that at that time that we could put out and say, hopefully we have something that we could say, here's how you can verify that your garden plot is not weeds.
That's a great idea. I mean, maybe it could be something as simple as asking people if they would like to be informed. I've worked the register at that sale for the past, 3 years, I think. So
I've done it many years, too.
Yeah, I see everybody there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That might be a great time to get people and say, hey, do you have a native garden? We're putting together this.
Mm-hmm.
Get the word out there.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
What happens if you mix in, I've got a lot of native plants, but a couple of things that aren't native mixed in, but those are on the side of my
details.
House. So,
well, yeah, let's say if she finds an organization that already does this and they say 75% must be this, that's like,
yep.
Yeah, let's figure that out after the next step of,
yep.
Of whatever.
The general rule is 70% should be natives.
Okay.
That's the
general rule.
That's
good.
The general understanding
yeah.
amongst
okay.
those of us.
All right. Good to move on to the Roars article information. Each of you wrote an article. No, I'm just kidding. I think that Connie was leading this. I remember I said something last meeting, but I can't remember what I said.
I just talked to the communications manager and got a little information.
Okay.
Connie had mentioned, I guess, that there was previously like a regular article
mm-hmm.
From you all in the Roars newsletter. So
well, it just started, actually.
Yeah, it's not a long-term
it,
oh, okay.
thing.
Just the last two times, maybe?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
What is the... Do you know, any information is the next needed due date?
Yes. So for the next issue, it's the summer issue, the next due date is going to be the first week of April. And I found out that the way the system works is that the communications manager sends an email out to the different department heads. So I think going forward, that'll just be a communication between the director and myself as the liaison, and I'll communicate with you all on upcoming, deadlines for upcoming issues, and then however you all want to handle that for writing a potential article.
I think we potentially have three things that we could write about. I mean, if something goes up and moving
mm-hmm.
with the native plants, we can put a blurb about that. Maybe something about floodwater remediation or this grant program we could write about, and then certainly I could write something about either the Soul Smart or if we get the ordinance, which is coming up in the old business, moving. So, like, that's four things. Because we're just talking about, you know, two paragraphs. I mean, we're talking about something really short, I think.
Are these intended to be descriptions of this is what's happening, or are they intended to include some advocacy? For example, if we were writing about native gardens, we might want to advocate, say, hey, this is, you know, this is a good idea, and really, I mean, it would probably be going a little bit far to talk about the city has cited people for these things in the past, and we want to open a discussion. But how does it fit in that continuum between pure description and including some advocacy?
I always understood it as being more content, like, focused, as opposed to, like, here's what's going on at the Green Practices Commission. If discussing native planting and you want to have a more advocate voice, I don't see that as being an issue. Personally, like, if I was reading something that's just like, here's some stuff about why you should put native plants in your yard, or here's a grant program about rain gardens, I mean, that's inherently, I guess, some level of advocacy. But I don't think that Roars is looking for updates on what we're doing in the commission. I suppose on a slow season, we could write, like, here's what we're doing, but I don't think anybody would be that interested in it.
Yeah, I mean, I was told that, you know, the issues aren't always the same size, and, you know, they're between 8 and 13 pages, and anything is going to be subject to, you know, review, I guess, between, you know, the communications and city leadership or whatever, but it's...
I thought when Mary Kennedy brought this idea up, who was our previous person, it was more of a let's get information out kind of thing, which, again, includes, in my mind, some degree of advocacy, but not necessarily... I think it was more of like an education component than anything else. That's the way I understood it, looking around, but I guess some of you around when Mary was here, not everybody, so.
That's how I understood it as well, is these are the major points we want to hit, and I thought it could pretty much be whatever we wanted it to be.
Yeah,
Roars has everything from leaves, to here's a movie at the high school, and, you know, here's when band is at the park, and, I mean, everything.
Yeah, like Matt had mentioned wanting to write, like, here's how heat pumps, you know, here's why you should have one, which is, you know, an informative paragraph on how and why heat pumps work, and it's maybe not for everybody, but so, like, the full range of education, I think, is maybe the mindset. And I think there's space if some folks are more interested in one subject matter over another, like, write a paragraph, and having too many paragraphs to vote on, I think, would be better than not having any. Rooftop solar.
One could imagine a lot of general topics we might write about. You know,
and
the resolution we proposed regarding solar, which probably very few people know exists.
Yeah. Maybe we could write something really crazy just to get people sitting in those chairs over there. They come to protest and they're like, oh, we're just kidding. You know, glad you're here, though.
That is actually a great idea.
I'm not writing that.
Rage bait.
Rage bait. That's what we'll call it. Green Practices Rage Bait.
If controversy comes our way, that's fine, but I'm not quite certain.
Invited. We live in a state where we don't need to worry about controversy over green practice stuff. All right, so any steps that need to be taken on Roar's article stuff? I mean, some clarification was good, right? That we sort of have a better idea as to what it is. We have one more meeting before before the submission is due. part of me wants to see what bubbles up from your work, because that could partner well with what you want to do, which seems relatively simple if there's organizations, but also like UCity and Bloom Sale, and like there's a lot happening in April, sort of. I guess it would come out in, when does it come out? Does it, you said it was due?
I don't know when exactly it comes out. It'll be the summer issue, so it'll cover June, July, and August.
Okay, so it probably comes out
after the publication.
Yeah. So it'll probably come out after the UCity and Bloom Sale, but well, I mean, whatever. I thought we ordered Matt that he had to write one last meeting. He did. Did it go?
He did a while ago, a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. He did write something for Roars, and then we had an online article as well.
Okay.
It's more in depth. Right. Unless I'm
no, I don't. I have no recollection of.
I've written for them. It's not a hard thing. You know, the council does occasional, you know, here's some of your councilman.
Yeah.
But then I hate to say this, but I'm, you know, a professional writer, so I'm actually the worst person in the world to advise anybody on writing. I mean, meaning, you know, if somebody doesn't, they gave my wife an article I was writing the other day, she told me it sucks, you know, and do it again. So I did it again the next day.
Yeah.
And when it comes to writing, I'm the worst person in the world to advise people.
And we could ask John to rewrite it in poetry format, too.
Yeah.
I could make it in verse, yeah.
Iambic pentameter. That's iambic pentameter rage bait. We'll have everybody here, right?
Make it a song.
Yeah.
If you want, I'll be happy to. If you have something, you know, you want to run it by me, I'm happy to.
Thank you.
I'm also the old English teacher, so, you know.
Well, I'm happy to write something like if the native planting thing doesn't seem like it's going to happen. I think with the solar stuff, which we'll discuss hopefully in a minute, that may be something that we would rather talk about than native planting. Or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anything I can do to help them.
Yeah.
I think there's no way that anything about this registry makes it into that Roars issue. I think we should plan on that not happening.
Okay.
Because first I have to come up with the motion. We all have to agree. Then we have to submit it to council. Then it has to get passed. Then it has to get implemented. So I would worry about talking too soon. So I think we should count on it being not this.
Okay. Well, I was thinking that you might just want to write about increased native gardens or something.
Time.
Yeah.
Sure. I can make a pretend and see where it goes.
Yeah.
Like
I'll do something on my end too, and we'll have
a
plethora of articles to pick from. All right, good. Go ahead.
Sorry, what's the word count? Is it 500? No, that's way too much. That's like two pages double spaced.
He told me, and I don't remember, but it's my notes on my desk, so I will follow up.
Okay,
yeah.
It's probably like 200 or something.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's a little longer than that. Let's say like 400 to 500, I think. But I don't know. That might be the council thing. Might be a little different.
Could be.
Well,
he definitely told me. I forgot to write it here.
750 words is a typical editorial for the Post-Dispatch. So that's what you're looking at. You're looking at something smaller than that.
Yeah.
Way smaller.
Post doesn't take submitted comments.
Let's find that out later. All right. Mm-hmm. Old business annual report for the commission. I think that's
I left that on there just because we discussed it last time, but it was a little bit awkward. It was on there. I didn't know, do we need like an actual motion to say everyone's on board with this going forward and being presented? It was on the, that was a loud sound.
It's an ice machine.
It was on the previous agenda. I didn't know if we needed a motion to say that it should go forward.
And that's just sort of what we've been up to, right, as a commission?
Yes.
Okay. I have no idea
I thought that was just a thing that was supposed to be getting done, and it was for a while, and then it fell off, and it was simply picking that back up.
It's technically I think it's in the code that it is supposed to be presented to or provided to city council yearly.
It's probably in our bylaws too. We're supposed to do it.
So that's why it was. Yeah. It was on the agenda, I think, when I came on board.
Yeah.
So
I don't have it right in front of me, but I believe it was part of the. I don't know if it was a bill or a resolution that was. You're effectively speaking. You're enabling legislation that said you will also make an annual report. So I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. I don't have it with me though.
So do we need to vote and approve that package to be sent up?
Is this report intended for the city council?
Yeah.
Right, in essence, to say here's what we've done for the last year.
Yeah. It's just that.
So there was, you know, it's been on the agenda and some back and forth, and just on the previous meeting, it was just discussed as, you know, yes, here it is, but I probably should have forced a, you know, yes or no, does this go forward to city council vote?
I think you can kind of make it whatever you want. I'd have to look at the language again, but it says something like you will make an annual report to the council. I mean, I don't remember it being much more. I'm sorry I didn't. Yeah. I have it at home someplace.
When would that be due?
I don't know that there's a specific, sometime, you know, an annual report. I don't know that it was, you know,
well, I think
overwhelmingly
the,
specific.
The question, at least the way I understand it, is do we need to vote to send it up and say, here's our report, or do we just let the council have it?
Required by the council, I don't know that we have.
Do we need to vote on it?
No.
You can request a date.
I think we need clarification on when it's due, at the very least.
Are we talking about something that we have a draft of already?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did that come out a couple months ago, maybe?
Yes.
I remember reading that, and it looked fine to me. Can we just agree now? Go ahead.
Well, that's my question. Is like, do we need to be like vote on?
We could.
Do we want
to
send the like make a motion that we want to take that draft and push it on up to city council?
Are we making this motion?
I'll make a motion that we are accepting the draft or the annual report as written for submission to the city council as per the legal requirements.
I'll be glad to second.
I don't recall having read it. Do we want to circulate it? And
no.
Isn't it at the last meeting.
It was. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I missed the last.
Don't we have to like approve the motion and then discuss it?
Yeah. I seconded.
Okay. So let's vote on whether we're going to approve it.
You can have the discussion before the approval.
Okay.
No, I would suggest that we vote to approve the notion that we will.
There's already a motion and a second on.
So
on the table.
So the motion is to send it as is up to the council. If you have reservations because you don't know what it says,
then you can
make an argument that we shouldn't send it up and we'll discuss it.
If people are comfortable with it, I'm okay. But.
I mean, I did bring copies again. It's
my
edit
of what
Connie had put together.
Can you really quickly review what it is? Maybe that will get just real quick review. It doesn't have to be reading all of it.
Just give us the sub.
Yeah.
Have AI summarize it for us.
Yes.
That's what I got it.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I did read this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we all saw this.
Yeah, all right.
I'll pass that down.
I don't remember how many copies I had.
Yeah, I remember reading this.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, we might want to add what Nicole was talking about earlier in the Native Gardens.
Or is it a new year?
So this is for 2024?
Oh.
Not 2025, is that
calendar
correct?
Year.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Okay, so two calendar years ago.
Yeah.
I wasn't on board for all of, only part of it yet.
So. Are we sure? Because didn't the solar ordinance come about in spring of 2025?
We presented it like May or June last year.
Well, then this is a mix of 24 and 25.
Right. So part of me says, let's go ahead and send it up because we have better things to do.
Yeah. And we add...
And this is good enough?
We add this to the... do we want to say 24, 25? If, again, is it the fiscal year or something? Because
begins in July.
Yeah, so like this is fiscal year 24, 25, then that would be accurate because the solar ordinance presentation was...
Yeah, the heading should clarify.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because it seems odd to say it's 26 now, but give an annual report for 24.
Well,
do we want to...
It was began in 2024.
Yeah. I'm just, so do we want to, like,
just
downvote this and then say the edit of changing the title and then send it up?
I think it really, to me, it looks awkward saying 24.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Say fiscal year 24-25.
Yeah.
So do we need to make
with that
a motion
change.
With amendment? Or
if there were to be that change,
yes.
It would be in favor.
All right.
I will move that amendment.
All right. So,
Suzanne, you second.
I second, yeah.
Do you agree with
that? I agree, yes,
okay.
Yes.
So we are going to vote on approving and sending this up, given the changing of the heading from blah, 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 to fiscal year 24-25.
Yes.
You vote on the amendment first, and then you vote on the whole thing.
Vote on the amendment of changing the heading. So vote on the amendment of changing the heading to fiscal year 24-25.
You have to move on it?
I think
I'll
second.
Second. Are you moved?
I moved.
Second? I can second it again.
Okay. All right. So we're voting on fiscal year 24-25.
Yes.
Unanimous has it. Ayes have it. Nays.
Okay, we're making progress here.
All right.
The main motion.
Works at least here.
Now you vote on the main motion.
So the amendment has passed of changing the title. The main motion of sending this report up to City Council. Vote ayes.
Aye.
Nays. The ayes have it. A motion passes. Got the gavel.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. One piece of paper off your desk.
With
all that trouble, it's one piece of paper.
All right.
One old business item off the next agenda.
All right. Speaking of old business, I got the next two. So the solar ordinance, if you recall, when we presented in fiscal year 24-25, the main issue coming from Councilman, I forget his name. McMahon said that we needed to define the spaces. And so I went through and in the Google Sheet collected the sort of appendices that are used by the IECC as defining solar ready, which that's not what our ordinance is about. But I thought using their official language gives us backup of saying we're defining the spaces, the buildings that are need done according to the CA appendix, using the official terms. If you guys did not have a chance to look in the Google Sheet, and I meant to send it, but things are running crazy. Oh, that's my wife. I don't know why. I don't think I'm in trouble. So there's a commercial, and then there's a residential sort of definition of space. Oh, I didn't need... I was going to bike home and get it. Okay. All right. So I highlighted it in yellow, but I will just read it because it's only like a sentence or two. For commercial spaces, and this is what I'm thinking we put in the actual terminology of the ordinance... the roofs of buildings that are 5 stories or less in height, above grade plane, and are oriented between 110 degrees and 270 degrees of true north, or have low sloped roofs. So what it would say is a new commercial constructed building that is 5 stories or less and has a certain orientation of the roof according to true north, or has a low sloped roof. So that would be part of the ordinance in terms of new construction of having the solar audit done.
Could I ask for an explanation of why the five stories are less?
It's because the appendices says what it is. There could be some engineering concerns of being solar ready on a taller building. I'm not an engineer, so I'm not 100% sure.
So where did you get that award from?
This, both this and the thing I'm going to read, are from the solar ready zone commercial from the International Engineering, the IECC. I don't know what all of those stand for, but it's the official sort of construction handbook that people will adopt. I think UCity's adopted, I think, the 2018 one, and I don't know which year this is in, but this is the appendices for solar ready commercial section. I did copy and paste some of the more specific solar ready requirements here, which is not what we're talking about, but you can peruse it if you'd like.
I had Ken's similar question to the five stories, and I wanted to remove that, and I wonder if that's just a way for larger corporations to get out of having to do this.
That's exactly
that,
what I was
that
saying.
Could be, but I would want to offer up something where if we used the verbiage of this, then we have the cover of that. But if we remove some of the limitations that are outside of all of us non-engineers, engineer? Okay. So, outside of that, then we're now no longer covered by saying, oh, it's the IECC that says it. That's why. And the second thing is, how many buildings in UCity are above five stories?
Do we have anything?
To the best of my knowledge, no. That so, one way out on... There's a couple just on the other side of I-170.
Yeah, that's right.
But the number of, over five stories, I think I count on one hand.
Now.
Yeah.
True
and,
enough.
All right, I'll make a note, because I don't disagree with what you guys are saying.
If it is indeed an engineering issue that I am totally unqualified to comment on, then I understand it.
I will try and investigate.
One could imagine somebody here who had expertise saying, when you start building 10-story buildings, everything changes in the burden of making it solar ready. I have no capacity to judge that.
Yeah.
I will try and go through and see if what they suggest for solar ready over five stories. Because I don't disagree with you, and it's in the future maybe UCity will have taller buildings, and
we'll become the Clayton.
Can't wait. So I'll come back next time with something that fills in that gap.
I can say that in the time that I've been on the council, that's only 2 years. I'm still kind of the new guy, but there have been considerations of buildings over five stories.
Yeah.
The original. Consideration for the one down in the loop, that's going up right now is seven stories.
Mm-hmm.
Your point's well taken.
Yeah, I hope people don't feel like I've dismissed your concerns. But we'll figure it out. The other thing I wanted to say was about the residential stuff, just so we could potentially get that in there as well. And the definition of a solar-ready new construction for residences is new detached one or two family dwellings and townhouses with not less than 600 square feet of roof area oriented 110 degrees and 270 degrees of true north. And I think that sort of verbiage might address some of McMahon's concerns. We can add in or tweak or whatever buildings that might be over five stories, but I think that those two sections we could massage out the council's concerns
in terms of size. What were Steve's McMahon's problems?
His sort of concerns, rightfully so, was the way that I guess I presented the stuff. It wasn't defined as to what qualified as something that needed an audit and what didn't. And he's like, do detached garages count to the square footage, or do, like, you know, three season room? You know, so there was a lot of just small things that need to be defined, I feel like, in an ordinance that we didn't.
My recollection is his concerns were very well taken.
I don't disagree.
He didn't want to pass an ordinance that would create all sorts of future litigation because of ambiguities.
Future litigation and future amendments. Oh God, we forgot this. We got to amend this. And, you know, that kind of stuff would go on for.
We don't want to.
I don't think we're being asked to do something unreasonable at all.
I mean, this is what they do in Jefferson City all the time, and they create problems that will take years to iron out because they didn't take the time on the.
Well, Steve's a lawyer. It was a very lawyerly position. Uh-huh. You know, the one page, you know, one page of ordinance and seven pages of definitions.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I say that only slightly facetiously, because I mean it is it's a real consideration.
Real. Yeah. That's one reason why I thought having the cover of the IECC official stuff is because maybe at the end of the thing, which is all future considerations, please refer to this document or something, that would get us weaseling out of whatever legally concerns are needed, or help address future amendments. It's like, well, we need to make a change to this. What did the official appendices say? And but I'll figure out that gap, and maybe next meeting I will come with just written up spaces, and we can amend that or whatever.
Thanks for looking into this.
Good? Questions, concerns, worries, problems, compliments? No.
Compliments. I'm impressed that you are digging into this with such detail and paying attention to it.
Well, it's something we started, and I want to finish it. The second thing on the list, if there's no concerns about solar ordinance, is the SolSmart thing. There's also a SolSmart certification thing in the Google Doc, or in the Google Drive folder. As I described it last meeting, it's effectively different levels that go from bronze up to platinum. And it's one of those, you know, the more you do, the more credits you earn, just like if you're at a university or a high school or something, the higher up you would go. So I copy and pasted this to make it easier to read for me. So for the bronze, which is the lowest certification, for example, you have to do three specific things, and I'll read what those are in a second. And you would need to get 20 points in the permitting and inspection, 20 points in the planning and zoning, and 20 points from another category. And so what they have is effectively like, here's 30 things you can do. And this one's worth 5, this one's worth 10. And you can mix and match to whatever you feel like your strengths and weaknesses are. So I think that makes it very user-friendly. But just to sort of hit home how difficult these things are, or not difficult, the required criteria for the bronze is 3 things. Provide a document that demonstrates your local government's commitment to pursue SolSmart designation. I don't think that would take... It would probably take longer to vote on accepting that motion, especially if I'm in charge, than it would take to write the thing. Second thing is post an online checklist detailing the required permits, submittals, and steps of your community's permitting process for residential rooftop solar. And the third thing is review zoning requirements and identify restrictions that intentionally or unintentionally prohibit photovoltaic development. So, like, for me, reading those, they're not nothings, but they're certainly not, you know, it's going to take 6 years and 17 case studies, and we got to interview 1,000 people. You know, that can be done, you know, relatively simply. And so, as far as the SolSmart stuff goes, I think this is something that perhaps we could pursue with relative ease and relative low cost and relative demand of manpower or person power from City Hall, because it is stuff just like post your commitment to photovoltaic, and then U City wants photovoltaic, check. And then pick perhaps from the list 20 credits from each of the categories that are needed of things that potentially we've already done. And in this Google Doc, I did copy and paste some of them, not all of them, but I did link to the handbook. And as I said last time, if you decided to initiate this, SoulSmart can actually assign you like a case manager type person that can tell you what to do and what forms to sign and where.
Would this be handled at City Hall by planning? Or what department would be in charge of this?
I think it depends on the actual thing.
And we don't have directors of any of them right now, do we?
Yeah. My official line is I have no update since I was told that will not be committing staff time to it until there's a new full-time director on board.
I do not know
director
that.
Of which?
Of planning.
This would be under planning.
So, well, some of it, because one of the categories is permitting and inspection, planning and zoning, government operations, community engagement, market development. So, like, it seems like it's not just the planning and zoning department. It would involve work across the board. But if we went through and said, well, let's do, you know, goal number 7, goal number 13, goal number 19, here, you know, what are the steps to achieving those goals? And then we're saying, got to talk to Joe, got to talk to Bob, got to talk to Frank.
But we don't know who to talk to at this point.
Well,
I mean, are we at a standstill until there is a new hire? Or can we go ahead and do any of this without a permanent director of planning?
I feel like with this, we can decide the best path forward to get bronze. And that we would just basically say we need, like, the city or the people or whomever needs to do these 12 things, which will give us 20 credits and 20 credits and 20 credits, and these three things that need to be checked off that are required. For me, I feel like with the city, whether there's directors that are currently there or not, approaching City Hall saying, here's what we want to do, here's the best way for it to get done, would be better than just go do this. Because I don't think City Hall employees need more to do.
Yeah.
From my understanding of what happens there.
John, what's your feeling on this? Should we go ahead and?
It seems to me that you have a thing that is something that people readily approve of. You still got a bunch of steps to do in order to get it done. Who it's eventually, what desk it's going to land on is down the road, but it'll be somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be either a director or whoever is working as acting director, for lack of a better way of putting it. We just got one piece of paper off his desk.
Yeah.
So, you know. But in all seriousness, I mean, my thoughts right now are you're still a bunch of steps down the road before turning it in anyway. So just go ahead.
I think
that would be my thought.
Yeah.
Good.
So I can send out a clean. I mean, this whole thing is there. I'll send out, you know, even just a copy and pasted or the screen captured list of requirements, and maybe people just go through before next meeting and say, I think these are doable, or these are already done. We just need to get the check off on it and see where we end up.
Can you do this in a straight email rather than Google Docs, which I have trouble with?
Should be fine legally, because we're discussing it here, so it's not like new business, right? I don't know why I'm so paranoid about getting in trouble for a group email. I'll send it to you and you send it out.
Yeah.
And you can get in trouble.
That would be the safer.
Yeah, no, we'll get it out to people. Like, Connie emailed me directly about, and I just sent her the Google Doc links. So we'll make sure that it gets out. I meant to send this out, but things have been crazy.
I've gotten away.
Yeah. All right. I think, is that all that needs to be talked about for SoulSmart stuff? I believe. And so we are down to council liaison.
Thank you. Honorable Chairman. A couple of things. Basically, I'll talk about two things, and I don't think I'm repeating myself, but if I am, please stop me, because I say this to different commissions, and I kind of forget who I've said what to. But there's two things that I would say. One, to our civil servants, I want to commend folks on the rapidity with which they got the snow cleared in the last big storm. I mean, we went out driving the next day, and you know, we had to slow down a little bit for ice and things, but it was cleared commendably. So I mean, I really want people to, especially among our civil servants, to be commended for this. We also have elections coming up, as all of you know. Let me talk about elections, and then I'll talk about our search for city manager. In the election, the big deal is that Terry Crow and Wayne Smotherson are competing for the mayoral business. As for the other elections, there will be a new person from the third ward, that is to say Christina Dancy, will be replacing Stacey Clay, who is, does one retire, step down, whatever you want to call it. Stacey is, he works a 9-to-5 job and then he does this thing. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how people with normal jobs do it. I'm retired, so I can devote time to it. And many of the other people on the council have very flexible schedules. Oh, like Terry Crow, who's a lawyer and he could be very flexible. Or Wayne Smotherson, who's a musician, has flexible hours, like Predator. And Stacey's Clay is young children and a 9-to-5 job. I don't know how he does it. I really commend him. I'll also really miss him. You know, he's a nice guy.
And there's no opposite, there's only one person who filed for third ward?
Yes, there was only one person, Christina Dancy, who's a longtime activist and done a lot of work of varying sorts. I saw her resume the other day, I met her the other day, and it's an impressive replacement for him. As far as the others go, Steve McMahon, Lisa Brenner, Dennis Fuller, everybody is running unopposed. This includes the entire school board that's up. I'm interpreting this, and of course I would interpret it in a positive way, as a kind of vote of confidence. Mm-hmm. And the vote of confidence, I think, is a vote of confidence in terms of the relative stability which the current council has given. I know, forgive me if that sounds like I'm blowing my own horn, because I'm the new guy and have contributed very little to it. There is a kind of stability, mm-hmm. and I take it both with the school board and with the council that this is the vote that people have given. I think that, so when I ran for office, I said to Judy Prangy, you know what people want in politics? They want it to be boring. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to hear about the Third Amendment to the Agricultural Bill. And Judy said to me, you know, John, that's your campaign slogan. Vote team and make politics boring again. Promise given, promise delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've made politics boring again.
Make a nice drab shirt that says, I'll buy it.
I say that facetiously.
A nice boring color shirt.
I say it facetiously, but only a little facetiously, mm-hmm. By way of illustrating. So we are also really begun the process of finding a new city manager. We've hired a consultant, and our consultant is, I forget the name of the corporation, but the guy, the point man, is Leon Chimborska. Same name as the poet, for those of you who know. Nobody here knows Polish.
I was going to ask if it was the same person, and I didn't want to embarrass myself.
She won the Nobel Prize.
Nobel Prize.
Same.
Yeah.
She won the Nobel Prize anyway. He is taking the point on this. There is a survey that is available. If it isn't already, is it up? Do you know the survey? If it isn't up already, it will be up soon for all citizens who want to have input on this.
I've seen ads on Facebook for it. It didn't sound like it's just like this date it's going to go live.
I don't think
it's quite live yet.
However, I will also say, too, that if you have ideas that you want to forward, you can always email me or any one of us. We'll take it into consideration. So there's going to be this process, a kind of winnowing process. They're expecting maybe about 40 applications at first. Those will be narrowed and so on. We do have, there's other communities in the metropolitan area, Crestwood specifically, Webster Groves. It seems like there's a third one. I guess maybe we're the third one. There's also looking for city managers, although those are very different kinds of considerations, meaning, you know, that... you know, Crestwood, for example, is much smaller. It's probably a third of the size of your city. So anyway, I did, you know, if you're curious, you know, I did say that, you know, there are certain things that I'm looking for. One would be humility. I know that sounds like an odd thing to say, but knowledge and expertise. I really think the person should have good skills with good interpersonal skills. I have said once, I've said 1,000 times, that this level of government is the most intimate level of government. You know, every one of my constituents has the same zip code I have. None of us have any constituents where we can't walk to their house. And so this person should have good skills, should have a good vision of U-City, should make good presentations publicly, and really be somebody you want to spend some time with. I'm the guy who is advocating not for so much the rational side, but the emotional side. I mean, plenty of people are making the rational arguments that this person should have know this, this, and this, that this person, for example, should fill openings in our civil service, and that's a rational thing. But also, I think, you know, they're, I guess, really interested in this.
Yeah.
Okay. I see two basic models. You may jump in here. I see two basic models that people work with. One is the open door policy. Y'all come. And some people refer to it as the depressed pyramid. Now, it's not a stark pyramid. You know, it's a depressed pyramid. And so the city manager has a lot of availability to a lot of people. The other model is a kind of more military model. There's a chain of command you go through. Both are perfectly workable. You know, both have there's a lot of reasonable ways to approach both ways. But in any case, no matter how it works, there has to be this interpersonal skill that is intimate, that is very intimate. You know, when I say it should be a person you want to spend some time with, it shouldn't be a person that you're afraid to spend time with. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my input on this thing.
Do you guys make the selection that the, and it's, obviously it's not a vote, but like, so U6, well not a city vote, but it's council people and the mayor.
The council only hires the city manager and the city clerk. That's the only hiring that they do.
Okay.
And then the city manager hires
everybody else. So I am
or the clerk, depending on which side it's on.
I am assuming that none of those other positions are going to be filled until the city manager is, are yes or no. Is it possible?
I think there are some that are being processed right now. You know, Brooke, I should have said this earlier, Brooke Sharp is the acting city manager now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she has all the power and responsibilities of the city manager. I do know that there's active searches going on. For those positions, it wouldn't surprise me if one or two got filled.
Okay. So which positions are open right now?
Let's see. Correct me if I'm wrong. Parks, finance,
planning.
There's also a couple of subordinate positions in there that are unfulfilled.
Assistant director of planning open this week.
Oh, actually, of course, depending on how the city manager gets filled in there. If Brooke is chosen, and we hope she will apply, but I shouldn't say, I don't know that.
Right, right.
So take that for what it's worth. Then there would be an assistant position, her old job, mm-hmm. that might open up. Mm-hmm. I am very much of the opinion that we have a lot of positions that need to be filled, and we really need to fill them, because it's just...
It's chaos up there right now, isn't it?
So, you know, but on the whole, I have to say that things are going rather well. I mean, I would not characterize it as chaos.
Okay.
Just occasional chaos.
Okay.
Not chaos, not permanent chaos, just now and again there's a little confusion. I think there's a relative stability that I'm very pleased with. Terry Crowe, the mayor, one time said at at his last State of the City address that, you know, we have very few problems that are internal. Most of our problems come from outside of us. And there are very few problems we have internally that we can't handle or are handling. And that most of the problems we have come in ways that are from the outside. And that's a serious matter, some serious matters that I'll be glad to discuss, but not officially.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I think we're down to closing statements, additional information. My computer went back to sleep. any announcements or I did remember that I needed to just say one quick thing about the idea of exploring the parks for spaces not being used. My plan was to go to the Parks Commission meeting next week for other reasons, so I will talk with them. I already talked to some of the commission members, and they said they're still collecting the data. Now, what that data looks like, and I'm not too sure, but I'm going to talk with them to see if we can start highlighting some spaces that could be used for rain gardens or native plantings or not mowing spaces. I don't know. Just pave it over. Who knows? The only other thing I wanted to say real quick is I will send this out. But my wife and I are running the One U City, which is the PTO that covers the elementaries and Brittany Woods. Their trivia night is here. I think it's March 27th. It's that Friday. And so I've already written all the questions. I already made the music round. I've edited all the stuff together. I'll send it out, and you can buy a table through the link that I'll send out individually to each of you so we don't get in trouble. But yeah, get a table together. It's fun. We just picked up all the beer from AB that was donated this past week.
And you're going to drink that before the party.
No, I got to be sober. I'm the master of ceremonies. I can't be drinking. I might have a Dr. Pepper, but that's not outside the lines of craziness. Unfortunately, we take all the leftover beer home, but if it's AB, I'm going to just put it in the dumpster. Yeah, don't. All right. Any other news reports, things want
to
say?
I'm going to have to go.
Then I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
We vote. Ayes.
Aye.
Any nays? All right. Well, thank you guys for coming. Some of us have.